Good morning. Thursday is a good time to be alive in Christ, and it's a good time to talk about the good things of God. Well, grab your coffee cup, and we will have a little time together. I'm George Watkins. What a miracle of technology that God has given us to be able to sit down together for a few moments on each of these morning sessions and just reminisce and listen to the Holy Spirit. Think about the good things of God. You know, there's nothing quite so refreshing and wonderful than to meet with an old friend that you have perhaps not seen for a while, but you have a history with, and you begin to bring back the memories. And with each memory, you remember something that was funny. You remember something challenging. You remember even perhaps some disappointments. But the bonding of friendship in reunions and reuniting in conversation does something for the ongoing relationship and the bonding of two hearts that nothing else quite settles the same thing. Okay. I just wanted to bring that up because God's the Father has given me a message, and it's probably one of the most controversial subjects in the church. It must be, because when we speak of it, or when we encourage it or teach on it, we get the lowest amount of attendance. Now, if I'm going to preach on prophecy, whoa, if I'm going to talk about prosperity, pack the church out. If I'm going to talk about, quote unquote, the end times, man, I could sell books from here to there. But I'm going to talk about a subject today that the Lord's dropped in my heart that is not real popular. And in a great percentage of the church, misunderstood. And it's the subject of prayer. Whoa. Now, I've pastored long enough to know if I'm announcing a potluck or a prayer meeting, two different crowds show up. Now, in a church of any size, there's a percentage of people that are your praying intercessors, zealots at the altar. Whatever time you call prayer, they're there. Thank God for that crowd, that assembly of people. But this is not a select group. This is not some chosen, special people that God called to pray. He called us all to pray. Why? Because prayer is a personal relationship with your Father. That's all it is. It's not a duty that we have to drudge up and slouch out, you know, and make us happen and bend my arm. Or it's not a shopping list like, you know, Santa Claus is coming, better get your list out. No, it's a relational experience where you and the Father talk about old times and new times. It's a time when you express your opinions. It's a time when you express your pains and your desires, but it's also a time that you listen to the heart of the Father, and he talks about the business at hand. He'll talk about the future. He'll tell you how to run the shop because you're a co-laborer. You're working with him in the business. And he'll give you insight on how to deal with partners or people in the business. He says, you know, son, that new company that we just signed up for, they have a CEO that is a hard head. But if you'll just approach him, you know, with a good attitude, and if you'll remember his children's names, and if you'll remember at Christmas to send him a little birthday Christmas card, you will find out that he'll soften toward you and he'll give you the business that you need. You see, that's the Father expressing and explaining how to conduct the business at hand. That's prayer. Now we have sweet hour of prayer that draws me from a world of care. Oh, I love that song, and I love the sweet hour of prayer. But when it becomes a duty instead of an obligation, in the sense, instead of a pleasure and a privilege, the two P's. When it becomes a pleasure and a privilege, like they say about work, if you love your work, you never go. If you love your job, you never go to work. That was my joy. Now I've had 15 different types of jobs, but I've always been called to preach. In the early days, I did things to make money so I could go preach because they didn't pay me anything. I had to pay for my way. And so I know what it means to get up and dread getting in the car and going through the rain and the snow and having to stand in a ditch and dig a ditch or, you know, carry a load or drive a truck. I know that. I know what it's like to throw a ladder on the side of a house on a hot August day and get your paintbrush out and paint a house. I know that. But I never went to work when I'm preaching. I never went to work when I was pastoring. Oh, there were some times I didn't want to go to church because I had to deal with a situation that I wasn't looking forward to, but that's another story. We'll save that for another video. Okay, prayer. Now, you've been called to prayer. You need to pray. You must pray. You can't get along without prayer. Sounds pretty strong, doesn't it? Sounds pretty militant. I'm going to break your neck if you don't pray. Well, prayer is an essential part of the healthy Christian. Somewhat like you and I, when the doctor says you need to walk more. I said, well, doc, I'm thinking about it. He said, that doesn't help. Don't just think about it. Put your tennies on and get out there and do it. So we think about prayer. We study prayer. We believe in prayer. We know all the prayer stories. We just forget to do it. This is a do it day, folks. This is a do it moment. So we're going to pray in another type of way. And it's not desperation. And it's not obligation. And it's not something, if I do it, I'll be favored of the Lord, because it's kind of like bringing an apple and put it on the teacher's desk. No. It's the privilege and it's the opportunity and it's the pleasure of coming into the presence of the Lord. And just sitting in his presence changes everything. Look at Luke 9 and 28. Jesus goes up to the what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. But it happened when he was praying. When you pray, something will change in you and the circumstances. Things change when you pray, folks. That's just the bottom line. And I'll tell you, the first thing that changes is your leather skin turns into soft silk and velvet. Now I'm talking about attitude, of course. You know, critical, fearful, nervous, you know. All of a sudden you come out of prayer and it feels like you've had a spiritual massage and everything's relaxed. Prayer is the bones and the energy of our Christian life. Okay, well, I know for some of you seasoned veterans, this is preaching to the choir. That's okay. I just had this idea of awakening, an awakening, an awakening. First John 5:14 says, if I ask anything according to his will. Now, what is the will of God? The will of God is that he would have all men saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So you and I then, as earth partners, you like that? Just made it up. earth partners. I'm an earth partner. I'm here on earth. God's in heaven. Well, he's in me. Don't get confused there. He's in me. He's in you. But my job then would be to pray that in, or open the door through prayer, supplication, so forth. Scripture says, if I can imagine it, I can have it. That's what he said about the people around the Tower of Babel, didn't he? Said, if they could imagine it, they could get it. Well, I imagine a great awakening. I imagine the Holy Spirit running up and down the streets of our cities. I imagine the Holy Spirit going into our schools where everyone just gets hit by the power of God. You've heard the stories. In your world, there's been high schools invaded. Some of it's been on internet lately. High schools and colleges, campuses just run over by the Holy Ghost. That is just a taste, a tease of what God can do and wants to do when we pray. Things happen, folks, when you pray. And I challenge some of you that have been up against it and seems like everything's blocked and there's no voice and there's no joy in serving God. It seems like it's a drudgery. I challenge you to set aside everything today, or after you get home from work, take some time. If you don't go to a, if you're not punching a clock, take time now and just set aside enough time where you can clear your head and hear the voice of the Lord and know that God is speaking to you through his love channel. It's the channel of love that we listen to. We don't listen to the channel of, the finger pointing, you are a bad person, and if you don't change, I'm going to come down and break a leg. No, it's the channel of love. And he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Now, when you find that, then you'll find yourself opening up and talking to God about things that you didn't think you could ever do. It's like a good friend. I've had friends like you have, where you haven't seen them for a while. And so when you come back, you kind of dance around the edges. And after an hour or two, or maybe you're going to stay overnight and visit, you begin to have a relaxed flow and you talk about things that you never would have said in the first hour. You begin to unload to them. Now, I know the repetition. I know the difference between the words too, of the bartender, the guy sitting at the bar. I've never done this. Thank the Lord for that. Sitting at the bar, and as he's drinking, he begins to open up and tell the bartender his story and all the woes he has. Now that alcohol is a substitute for the Holy Ghost. That's why it's not favorable to do. Don't do it. Even Solomon said, don't be messing with that when it stirs itself in the cup. That means that, that fermentation that'll cause you to have a substitute to open up. You got to get drinking before you open it. No, the Holy Spirit was given to you for that purpose before the Father. Bartender can't do a thing about your problems, but the Father can. Why open up to some clown that is just counting your money as a customer when you need to open up to a Father of all mercies? And the Holy Spirit is that substitute, is the real thing that will cause you to be drunk in the Spirit. We talk about it and we rave about it and we love the thought about it, but that's the whole idea. It takes away our inhibitions that are in the natural man, and we begin to share with God our heart, because the Holy Spirit brings us that happiness and that relaxation. Well, I've bounced all around today, but God told me to talk to you about prayer. Hallelujah. Now, we don't pray because if we don't pray, I'm a bad boy. No, we pray because we love the Father. We can hardly wait to get into the presence of the Lord. I've traveled a lot as a kid. We went up and down, in and out. I was always gone from my favorite cousin. When I came down into Southern California, my favorite cousin was there. He was the cool one, 3 years older than me. I could hardly wait. We'd drive down the streets that were familiar. And the closer we got, more excited I got. We'd pull up to the front, my cousin's house, and I'd jump out. Wow. That's the anticipation we have to go to prayer. Because we're going in to meet the Father. We're going into fellowship with the saints and the angels and all the spiritual crowd that crowds into your prayer room. That's an amazing experience, folks. So something happens when you pray. Hallelujah. Well, Father, I do pray for this word to resonate and just attach us like super glue today and revive us and reignite that passion for our time in your presence. Amen. Well, God bless you today. Thank you. I love you guys and gals. I really appreciate all your encouragement and your subscriptions and your thumbs up and your comments. Really do. Let me know you're there. And if God's nudging you to send us a financial gift right down there in the show notes, you'll find the way to do that, including the address, the old-fashioned way, cards and letters. Oh, my. I will see you in the morning, Friday. Friday is my favorite day of the week, so let's meet together again. Until then, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his countenance always be the first thing people meet when you walk in the room.